books to life. Vision without sight.
Blood Roots, an Andy Carmichael case, a paranormal thriller. Written, dramatised and produced by Be Here. The low, threatening cloud and general gloom was adding to her mood. The murmurings inside her head were particularly vocal and weren't helping alleviate the general feeling of discomfort. For Andy Carmichael, these visions and noises were something she had ignored until it reached a point where she realised that her murmurings, at least that's what she called them, were meaningful. Indeed, more than meaningful. They were insightful. Her hands were wet, and the water dripping from her hair down her front and onto her jeans was pushing the cold deep into her bones. It wasn't helping that she was kneeling in the mud, staring into a face she didn't recognise. Her murmurings were screaming inside her head, telling her that something wasn't right. She lifted her head and looked up, exposing her face to more of the rain that seemed determined to fall hard enough to pierce her skin.
What do you think? Is it her?
Carl asked her. Andy sighed. How would she know? The picture he had given her when he had been tasked with finding the girl was one of a 15-year-old from 10 years ago. The face they were looking at was emaciated, blotchy, grey, partially decomposed and almost unrecognisable as a face. She certainly didn't know, and if he had any sense, he wouldn't be asking her. She stood, trying to shake off some wetness and quiet the noise inside her head. He stood with her. Carl was a tall guy. The rain wasn't dripping from his hair onto his jeans. Instead, it was bouncing off his bald head and landing on her, as if determined to make her as wet as possible in the time that she was exposed to it. She began to giggle, which came out as a snort. She shook herself again, trying to become centred and get a grip on the situation. It worked, to a point, but it also brought the visions and voices from inside her head more into focus. She knew she had to take notice of what was being shown to her, but not now and not here. Andy turned and snapped.
How should I know if it's her or not? You can see her face. Well, what's left of it. Sometimes your questions really just need to be kept to yourself.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's not my fault it's raining. And it isn't my fault there's mud everywhere. I think we can safely blame that on the rain. And we can safely blame the rain on something other than me. You're so crabby when you're hungry. I should have taken you for a bacon sandwich and a coffee first.
You know what? You're right. I am crabby, and you know what else? I have a right to be. Just the sight of your face does it for me. But I don't have to listen to you anymore, and I don't have to do what you say. We don't work together anymore, remember? I do. I'm going home.
She turned and started to walk away, her wellies sloshing through the soaked field they were in.
Why do I let him get under my skin like that?
Andy, come on! You know I wouldn't have asked you to come if I thought I could have managed this any other way. This is right up your street. You've always had a knack for these kind of things. No one else I know seems to have the intuition you do when it comes to cases as difficult as this.
He reached out his hand and grabbed her arm, causing her to spin and catch her foot on the clump of earth and head for the grass. He grasped for her, but it was too late. As she fell, she twisted and flailed her arms. Managing to grab him, he toppled with her. They landed in a heap. Him on top of her, planting her in the ground. Water sprayed away from their bodies as they struck. His face was inches from hers, and she could feel the breath explode from him as hers did the same. He rolled off, trapping her arm. She rolled with him and ended up straddling his body. As she righted herself, she planted a right-hand punch on his chin. Placing a hand on his chest, she managed to push herself to her feet, one leg to each side of his torso, and looked down at him again.
Only you, Carl, could manage a stunt like that.
He stared up at her, rubbing his chin, and a smile played across his face.
Reminds me of that time in Kosovo.
He said as his grin widened. He rolled over, planted his hands in the mud and pushed himself up, forcing her to shuffle out of the way as he rose to his feet. She looked him straight in the eye as he turned to face her and threw another right hook. This time he dodged and swung his leg towards hers, aiming for the back of her knee to bring her down again. She jumped, bringing both of her knees up to her chin. At the same time, she twisted her body so that she was able to move her legs up further and scissor them round his neck. She sent him flying to the ground before landing on her feet, one hand in the mud. The rain was still pelting her as she walked back to the car and pulled on the handle.
It's locked,
she thought. Fumbling in her sodden pocket, she retrieved the key and blipped open the door, yanking at the handle. Sliding in, she pulled it closed behind her and noticed the cold, clammy way her clothes stuck to both her and the leather seats of a 350 SLK. Pressing the start button, she slammed the gear lever into drive and pressed her foot on the accelerator. Her tyres bit into the mud, throwing up clods of grass and causing the car to snake away down the road. Looking in the rearview mirror, she could see Carl. He was stood, staring after the car. She gunned the engine and rounded a corner until she couldn't see him anymore. She crammed her foot on the brake, pulling to the side of the road, moved the lever into park and settled her head onto the backrest of her seat. Staring through the front windscreen, she noticed the knuckles of her hand on the steering wheel were white. The adrenaline coursing through her body was causing her to grip way too hard, and she was tense, the muscles knotting in her back and the top of her arms. She let the breath escape from her in a heavy puff. She realised by the pain in her clenched teeth that she hadn't been breathing. The jarring ring of the phone in the car brought her mind back into focus, and she looked up at the screen. It was Juliet. She tapped the screen to answer the call.
Hello.
Hi. How did it go?
Don't ask.
Oh, I told you not to go. What did he want? What did he do?
You know what, Jules? I don't want to talk about it, okay? I'll tell you when I get back. I'm on my way now.
Okay. But you're okay, yes?
Yes, yes, I'm okay.
She lied and cut the call. Andy pulled into the drive. She had driven the 15 miles back to her home office in a trance, only realising she was back when she arrived. It had been one of those journeys that left a hole in your mind, a section of time you would never recall, autopilot taking over. She turned off the engine, picked up a key, and as she eased out of the car, she realised she was still soaking wet. The driver's footwell was covered in mud and water. Sighing deeply, she closed the door and made her way up to the house. She would call someone later to sort out the car. As she reached the door, she began to shake, unsure if it was the cold or the emotion of the incident. She didn't have time to decide as the door flung open. Jules was standing looking at her, a mix of sympathy and rage on her face.
What the hell happened? What did he do?
Just let me in, Jules. Let me get in and get out of all this wet stuff.
She pushed her way past, got inside and headed down the corridor towards the bathroom.
Get the kettle on, make a coffee and put some brandy in it,
she said over her shoulder as she went. Closing the bathroom door behind her, she placed her hands on the surface near the sink and dropped her head. Taking a few deep breaths, she looked into the mirror and almost gasped at the state she was in. Taking hold of her top, she peeled the wet material up, off and over her head, dropping it on the floor. Next, she did the same with the jeans, having to sit on the edge of the toilet seat to pull them off over her feet as they clung to her skin. She threw them next to her top and opened the glass door for the shower. Reaching in, she turned on the hot water and watched as the big shower sputtered to life. She got in, closing the shower door behind her. The water hit her face and was soon warming her up as it ran down her body, washing away the cold and the dirt. She reached for the rack where she knew the soap lay and scooped the bottle up in her hand. Squeezing it, she lathered herself and the warmth spread even more, removing what was left of the rain and the mud. Leaning her hands against the tiled wall, she bowed her head and let the water wash down her neck and back, relaxing the knotted muscles. It was working. The adrenaline from the encounter was draining away. She turned off the shower and reached for a towel, dried herself, and slipped on a furry robe that hung on the back of the bathroom door. She headed for the lounge where she knew Jules would be waiting with her coffee. Jules was there, holding out a mug as she walked into the room. She was always there when Andy needed her. She'd been Andy's friend since school. And though they were from very different backgrounds, they had stayed close ever since. Jules was money. Old money. Her father was a peer and her mother a cousin of the royal family. Jules herself ran the family businesses. She was in charge of the multiple investment firms and the media companies she had set up to help raise the profile of the family brand. She was elegant, cultured, and stunning because of her self-confidence. She didn't need the confirmation of her status from anyone. She was centred, planted in the real world despite her lofty position amongst the aristocracy. Her connections had helped them a number of times on cases they had been involved with. She wasn't truly part of the investigation company, but she was an unspoken member, one Andy knew she wouldn't want to do without. As she took the coffee cup from her hand, Jules looked at her.
Do you want me to take care of him once and for all? You know I'm happy to do it. You just have to say the word.
Jules hadn't liked Carl from the start, and she made no bones about letting Andy know how she felt. The thing was, Andy knew that she meant what she said. She had connections, could make things happen that were just not possible for normal people. What's more, having gone through the same MI5 training as Andy had, she was more than capable of accomplishing the task herself. When they had both left school and gone into the service, Jules had been the only female in the group that outshone Andy in their training. In fact, she had outshone most of the men too. Both of them were capable killing machines. They'd been trained to be. The difference between them was that Jules enjoyed the pain and suffering she could inflict on those deserving of it.
Really, Jules, sometimes I worry about your take on how to resolve things. I don't think making one of our ex-colleagues disappear would be the answer. Carl is just Carl. He's always been the same. People skills was never a strong point for him.
You might be right, but the offer still stands. Anyway, seeing as you're sure, what did you find? What's the next step?
Andy sipped her coffee. The brandy burnt her throat as she swallowed, but it was warming. She sidled past Jules and sat down on the settee.
I'm not sure. I mean, I saw the face of the girl, but it wasn't recognisable as a face, really. There was no way of knowing if it was her or not. The voices were screaming at me, but I had to ignore them. I was too preoccupied with the cold and the rain. I think we need to get all the info from Carl, see what he's dug up so far and what led them to where they found the body. Maybe going through the info will shed some light somehow.
So you've decided to take it on, then? The investigation, I mean.
Well, Carl was right about one thing. There is no one better at getting to the bottom of these things than us. I'll call him, tell him we'll do it, and arrange to meet and get all the files.
What do we know so far?
Nothing. I don't know anything other than having seen the photo and knowing that it's been a while. Seems a long time to leave the disappearance of someone before trying to find out what happened. Yeah, I'll talk to him, see who the client is and what they're after. In the morning, though, I'm not calling him today.
Okay, so come on. Spill the beans.
Andy recounted the morning's episode.